The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit,
sir. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, "Come, follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the town of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see the sky opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, so the days just following Christmas are filled with the feasts of martyrs, as I know that I've mentioned to you before. You got the Feast of St. Stephen and the Feast of the Holy Innocents and Thomas Becket to remind us that the child born in the crib came to suffer and to die, to offer his life in sacrifice for all of the people. Now, the days just before Epiphany are a little bit different. Epiphany, of course, remember, it's what we're going to celebrate on Sunday, when the Magi from the East come and they offer their gifts to the Christ child. The first time that Jesus is recognized outside of Israel as being the Messiah, as being the Savior, and we know that because of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if you want to know more about what that means, tune in on Sunday, okay? And I'll give you all the details. But in the days leading up to Epiphany, all the readings begin to tell us about the universal mission of Jesus to the whole world. So, for example, yesterday, you get the call of Peter and Andrew. Peter, I hope this is clear enough, Peter represents the whole church in the West. Peter, the first pope, Peter, the first bishop of Rome. You might not know, though, that Andrew represents the church in the East. Traditionally, Andrew is associated with Byzantium and the church in the East. So Jesus calls Peter and Andrew, and it represents the calling of the church of the entire world. Today, you hear the call of Philip and Nathanael with a reference that Jesus has to the Jacob's ladder vision from back in the book of Genesis. "Amen, I say to you, you'll see the sky open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, when Jacob had that dream of the ladder connecting heaven and earth and the angels ascending and descending on it, he awoke from that dream and he said, "This is the gate of heaven. This is the dwelling place of God." Now, with Jesus referencing that same thing, what he's really saying to Nathanael and to Philip is that, "I'm the connection between heaven and earth. I'm the dwelling place of God. The gate of heaven is right here." As if to say, now there's a mission not just to the church throughout the whole world, but there's a mission that's bigger than just Jew and Gentile, but it's connecting heaven and earth as well. A universal mission that our Lord gives, and that's what you hear before in the days before Epiphany. And this is something that would have made perfect sense to our saint for the day, St. John Neumann, whose life spanned two continents and spanned the Atlantic Ocean. He came to America in the 1830s from his native Bohemia, which is today the Czech Republic, because, get this, they wouldn't ordain him a priest. He wanted to be ordained a priest, and they told him, "We've got too many priests. Isn't that a nice problem to have?" Okay. So he got on a boat, he came over to America, and he was ordained a priest, and what a priest he was. He was renowned by everyone for his abilities. They say he spoke eight languages. But St. John Neumann had a lowest opinion of himself. Perhaps he had a touch of melancholy, perhaps a touch of depression, but he had no confidence in his own abilities. Esteemed by everyone who knew him, they asked him to become a bishop, and he said no. And they asked him again, and he said no again, and they asked him again to become a bishop, and a third time he said no. And one night he came back after a long day to his study, and there on his desk was placed the pectoral cross worn around the neck by a bishop, and he knew upon seeing that the Holy Father had in fact asked him to become a bishop, and they say he spent that entire night in prayer. St. John Neumann was asked to be the fourth bishop of Philadelphia, and he begged the Holy Father to move him out of Philadelphia. He said, if I have to stay as a bishop with my poor abilities and my incompetence, at least send me to some place out in the hill country where I can be with those who work in the mines and those who work in the fields and those who work on the farms, because I'm wholly unsuited for this task. Find someone else with greater abilities. However, if you insist that I should continue, I place my trust in God and not in myself. And if you ever go to Philadelphia, maybe you would see the great palatial St. Charles Seminary, the seminary of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And inside is a long hallway that connects the seminary with the chapel. And all along the hallway, there are enormous oil paintings of all the old bishops of Philadelphia, dating all the way back to Bishop Egan in the days just after the American Revolution. All wise men, all learned men, all good men and up to the task, and yet only one of them was the saint. You'll find seminarians walking that hallway, pausing before the image of St. John Neumann, making the sign of a cross, offering up a prayer, touching the frame of the picture. Maybe they needed help with an exam. Maybe they just needed help that day. But only one of them is the saint. The one who placed so little confidence in his own abilities and so much confidence in what God can do through him. And if there's a message on the Feast of St. John Neumann, it's that. Here gathered this afternoon is a bunch of well-intentioned souls here in this church, but I don't think any of us would ever count ourselves to be a pillar of strength, right? Tower of a mighty fortress of God's strength. We all know our own weakness. And our weaknesses are true and they're real and they're not to be ignored or downplayed. But as confident as you are in your own weakness, have even more confidence in what God can do through you nonetheless. We have real problems in each and every one of our souls. We are all sinners. We're all desperately in need of repentance. There's real problems in our homes. There's real problems in the church. And I don't need to tell you there's real problems in the country and in the world. And it can seem overwhelming at times. But if you would, take a lesson on the Feast of St. John Neumann. As confident as you are in all that is wrong, have even more confidence in what God can do through those who place their trust in him. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do just that today. St. John Neumann, pray for us.